You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Just tweeted it out at Chris Carlin on Twitter. Her exclusive interview with Rob Manfred yesterday in The Athletic. Britt Giroli covers baseball for The Athletic. She joins us now on 98.7 ESPN. Britt, Chris Carlin here in New York City. We appreciate a few minutes. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. And, you know, I read this yesterday, and there was an awful lot to take out of it. First of all, what were your biggest takeaways from your conversation with the commissioner?
So I think my biggest takeaway was, one, the league is looking at this as a success so far, despite pitchers complaining, despite some issues that we saw on the field, Max Scherzer, Sergio Romo. The league thinks this is going to continue to go full speed ahead. There's not going to really be any changes at all. And to me, I think that's what everyone's wondering is, how long can these frisks go on? How long can we have guys dropping their pants on TV? And the league feels like this is par for the course. There's going to be some bumps, but they're going to keep driving down this road.
You know, Commissioner Manfred, and I want to give it the benefit of the doubt here, because sometimes tone might get lost in words, but it really doesn't in this interview to me. He does come across a little bit combative when he comes to this. Am I characterizing that well?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think one of the things that has kind of been out there about him and the difference between him and Bud Selig is, he kind of lacks some of that bedside manner, right? Some of that charm and charisma. And we see it from guys in baseball like Theo Epstein, who are just really good at being these deft politicians. And that is not Manfred's forte at all. So you're definitely reading that correctly. I asked several times, about the process being done midseason, about it kind of feeling like they didn't have player input. And you're right, he pushed back on that several times, saying, we sent several memos. This has been going on for a few years. And, he said, if guys had self-policed, they would have stopped, but guys didn't self-police. So he did sound, I don't want to say angry, but very forceful.
Britt Giroli of The Athletic joins us. She had an interview with Commissioner Rob Manfred yesterday. That's one area I want to start, Britt. He pushed back on that notion so much that the players were not really consulted on what was going to happen. But you still hear guys who are heavy union guys like Gerrit Cole, like Zach Britton, they pretty much indicate that was the case. So there seems to be a disconnect here somewhat. What is your read on that?
So in talking to players, people in the union and the league, and obviously Manfred, MLB is going to say, listen, the players in the union had a chance to provide input. They had multiple chances to provide input. They did not take advantage of that. The union is going to say, even if we gave them input, this is an existing rule on the books. They could say, we don't care what you think. This is what we're doing. And that is how the union characterizes these discussions. MLB characterizes them as, well, we were waiting for some input and we really didn't get any. And the other interesting thing here, Chris, is the union is made up of hitters and pitchers. So while we've heard from Gerrit Cole and Zach Britton and Max Scherzer, we've also heard from Josh Donaldson and Chris Bryant about how much they like this rule, about how they're happy that this is being enforced. So I think to some extent the union felt like they couldn't really come out strongly in support either way without alienating half their base.
And yeah, it's almost diabolical to think this way, but I don't think there's any question that Rob Manfred and the owners would not be broken up if there was a disconnect between the hitters and pitchers in the union with a potentially lengthy CBA negotiation coming up. Could that have been part of the whole thought process behind doing this now, that they could actually create some dissension in the union for a bigger purpose moving forward?
I don't think that was the purpose at all. I think that is probably, as you said, a welcome side effect to this. I don't think the league is sophisticated enough, similar to Pete Alonso. They're not sophisticated enough to say, here's the free agent class, we're going to change the baseballs to suppress salaries dependent on that. I mean, that is next level. Same thing here. They didn't say, well, if we enforce this, the hitters and pitchers might go at it, and it'll help us at the bargaining table. I don't think that was a goal. I think that's something that has come out of this, certainly. I don't think the league's upset about it at all. But I think the problem is, and, you know, in The Athletic about a month ago with Ken Rosenthal, I wrote the first story about all of this. The problem is players spoke out. Players wanted this changed. As I said, about half the union is happy right now, and the other half is miserable. I don't think MLB had the luxury of waiting until the end of the season, because this was becoming something that really had to reach a head. We had already talked about all the no-hitters, the offense being just historically awful. I don't think, as we sit here in June, that the sport could have survived. It would have been really a punching bag if they had continued to let this go on for another full season. I think they had to do something, and they felt like this solution, while not perfect, is a Band-Aid for now, while they look at the real issue, which is addressing the baseball.
Well, that's where I was going next. We're talking to Britt Ciroli of The Athletic, who had an exclusive interview with the commissioner. We tweeted it out just a few minutes ago. It's a great read, and you can really hear Rob Manfred's voice through the words on the page. That's for sure. Britt, that seems to me to be the bigger issue here. Nobody really was too worried about this. Spin rates, I think we all agree, that when you are using spider tech and such, that's reaching a level of cheating. But when you've had so many pitchers come forward and admit that they have used stuff for grip for a long time because the balls are so slick, but it's really only become an issue this season because of how the ball is constructed. You know, are they trying to fix a problem that they created by blaming the pitchers now?
Yes and no, Chris. It's amazing. We can find a vaccine for COVID in 6 months. We can put a man on the moon, but we can't develop a tacky baseball. it's really interesting because we've been hearing for years about how they are trying to fix the baseball and trying to come up with a solution, and they really haven't. And this all boils down to, I think, 4 or 5 years ago when they bought into Rawlings. MLB is part owner of Rawlings, and they decided the game needed more offense. It would generate fans and the younger generation if we had more offense. So they juiced the ball. And the pitchers were like, well, wait a minute. You know, we're getting crushed here. So they started to experiment with this sticky stuff beyond the old pine tar and the spit balls and the things that were done in the olden days. So this is kind of a problem of MLB's creation here. And when they announced that they were going to deaden the ball this spring, that combined with the spider tech and the bullfrog and the crazy stuff that the pitchers are now, with the help of all this analytics, being able to measure for the first time ever, created this issue. And I asked somebody in the league, will there be a better baseball next year? Will we go back to normal? They said no. This is a few-year process. The best that they can hope for is to come up with some kind of sticky tack, a foreign substance, that is sprayed on the balls after they're made. And even then, we're dealing with physics, because the tackier a baseball is, the better grip a pitcher has, the longer their hands stay on that ball, the better their spin rate is. So it's a fine line between giving the pitcher something they can grip and giving them something that they can spin for 400 or 500 increases RPMs on their fastballs. So the league right now is in this weird problem that they self-created. And you look at other leagues like Japan and Korea, and they don't seem to have this problem. They take the ball out of the box, the ball is tacky, they're good to go. MLB, on the other hand, they have a very imperfect system with the mudding. That's something I think they're going to maybe look at changing here over the next few years. But the baseball itself, the specs of that baseball are going to remain the same, I was told by multiple people, for at least another year.
Wow. Britt, two last ones for you. Talking to Britt Ciroli of The Athletic, who talked to the commissioner yesterday. One of the questions is a process one, because you brought it up at the end of the interview with the commissioner and the fact that he does not talk very much. I'm curious how this all went down. Kind of how quickly was your request in before the commissioner came back and decided to talk about it? How long did you wait on getting this interview?
So I'm glad you brought that up, because I think people don't realize when he says, well, I'll get back on my regular routine of at least two availabilities a year. When you look at Roger Goodell and you look at Gary Bettman and you look at Adam Silver, they have more than two availabilities a year.
Yeah.
So even in a regular non-COVID, non-pandemic year, Rob Manfred is just not available. And part of that goes back to what we said earlier, where he's not charismatic. And I do think to some extent, the league feels like every time he speaks, it doesn't really help, right? No one reads this and says, you know what? I am now a Rob Manfred fan. He doesn't have that presentation. So in my case, I did get very lucky. I requested him and got him within an hour, which in our business is pretty unheard of. I think a few things happened. One, we saw what happened with Sergio Romo and with Max Scherzer, Joe Girardi getting ejected, and it kind of reached a head. And I made it very clear in my request that, look, I don't want to hear from Theo Epstein or Michael Hill. I want to hear from the commissioner. The sport deserves to hear from the commissioner. You are the spokesperson of the sport, whether you like it or not, whether you're good at it or not. This is a big part of Rob Manfred's job, and I want to hear from a guy who moved the All-Star game, fundamentally changed the minor leagues, changed the draft, and then decided to overhaul these rules like we've never seen them before in the middle of a season. So I thought it was very important, and I said in my interview, listen, I think it's fair that Michael Hill and Theo Epstein are speaking, but I also think people want to hear from the commissioner of the sport. And that's why I think it was such a big deal to get Manfred and to at least hear what he had to say, because to me, this is how it all starts, right? The distrust, the conspiracy theories, you need to hear their point of view, why they're doing things, whether you agree with it or not, whether you come away from this interview liking him or not. I just think it's very important as a sport, as a fan, as a reporter, to know what the guy in charge is thinking.
Oh, completely agreed. And I almost thought too, like, you know, when you make that request and Zach Britton says, you know, I'd love to hear the commissioner earlier in the day said, I'd love to hear him answer some questions. And all of a sudden he is, you think, well, maybe he's starting to understand and feel the heat on it a little bit, but you're right. I fully believe, especially after last year, with everything that went on with the Astros and the scandal and as poorly as he came across in spring training, that baseball just doesn't see the benefit of having him talk very often. Britt, last one. Do you see this making it even more difficult this coming off season when it comes to the CBA and the division between the owners and players?
I do, because I don't know about you, Chris, but I have never seen, I've been covering baseball for 15 years, I have never seen a sport that is so eager to call out the commissioner. And I know it's collective bargaining one-on-one to make Manfred out to be the bad guy, but I have never seen such a collective force of players and coaches and managers and front office people who are upset with the way the game is going. So I think, and I hope, that this has now reached such a crescendo of hatred, distrust, the relationship has gone so poorly that I hope it all just gets blown up here at the table and the CBA is able to move forward and we can work on this relationship, because it's not good for the sport. The squabbling, the headlines, it's not good for the sport. And I really hope, like I said, that this is the worst of it now. This negotiation is going to probably be ugly and drawn out. But I really hope that at some point these two parties can come together and say, we all are here because we like baseball, because we want to make this sport great, whether it's for money or fame. We can all argue about the deciding motivation behind each group. But I hope at the end of the day, they get together and say, you know, we have got to figure this out because it's embarrassing.
I want to be optimistic too, Britt, but I don't feel that way when specifically when all of this stuff seems to come from the commissioner's side, but the player's side is as dug in as they are too. Listen, great stuff and a terrific interview. Appreciate you coming on for a few minutes.
All right. Thanks for having me, Chris.
It's Carlin.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
On 98.7 ESPN.